blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Coming up on TMS, The Aftermath.
Did Brian find any joy?
1 billion with a B.
RDJ no longer did what he did.
Make way for new stuff.
That's a lot of chickens.
Major spoilers and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Audio Entertainment presents Warrant.
Yeah, we like to rock and roll. We like to do a lot of other things, too.
Call the Warrant Rock Line.
We'll give you the warm, hard facts on our personal lives. Our fans always come first.
Just $2 the first minute, 45 cents each additional minute. Kids, ask your parents' permission. You'll get the latest on tours, videos.
And what we blew up last.
Call and hear a new message every day and learn how you can leave your personal message for Warrant.
Or anything else you've got on your mind. Call us and find out what goes on behind tour bus doors.
Mega Man, you must go after him. We don't know who he is, and it's dangerous to leave him alone.
Curse your sudden but inevitable betrayal. This is The Morning Stream.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to TMS, The Morning Stream, for Monday, the 28th of December, 2015, almost 2016. It's almost the new year there, Brian Ibbett.
It is. We're so close. We can see the new year off in the distance.
Can you nearly taste it? Can you taste the alcohol you will be consuming that day?
I can feel the hot breath of 2016 on the back of my neck.
Ooh, gross. Somebody call that one in, because we don't need that kind of creepy guy in the park or whatever. yeah, that's happening in just a few days. And yeah.
Help.
Yeah, yeah. I'm having a weird year, though. I'm having some of the most enjoyable holiday time I've ever had. And I don't know why, or at least have had in a long time. And I don't really know why. I think part of it is because, like, for Christmas and stuff, we had less places to be.
Yeah,
it was less crazy. So we had, giant Christmas Eve thing that we always do every year. But outside of that, we kept it pretty low key. And we got snowed in kind of on Christmas Day. So Christmas Eve started out as a pretty clear day. And by that night, started to flurry a little bit. And then overnight, we got hammered, just completely snowed to hell and back.
We got that. We got a nice blizzard situation happening Christmas night as well. So I think it was coming over the mountains to us as well.
Yeah, we must have blown it over to you. And so the stinker with that was it was very dry and frozen already, and the temperatures are like 5 degrees. That's Fahrenheit for you weirdos. and it was so cold and so frigid, and still yet someone had to go out and get that snow off the driveway, right? So I went out there with the old snowblower. Yeah. I got Nick out.
What's the point of having kids if they don't work for you?
He did the front yard. I did the back driveway thing, and it all went fine. We got all the snow cleared out. Everything went fine. We went and had breakfast at a Village Inn because we felt like being lazy. Yeah, it's good. They make fine. It's way better than Denny's.
It is. It's more variety, and they've got kind of more unusual stuff, right? I mean, Denny's is, you got your scoop of chocolate, scoop of vanilla, basically, right? Yep. You've got pancakes, hash browns, bacon, and eggs.
Yeah. It's the McDonald's of breakfast sit-down places.
Right. Don't get me wrong, I like Denny's because, again, you know what you're going to get. It is right there.
Yeah.
But Village Inn, man, they've got like chorizo souffle with sprinkled egg watercress.
Yeah, and the pricing's good, and it's good. This is not an advertisement for Village Inn, but we like them, right?
Sure.
So we go there, we eat, and we're looking out the window. It's still just storming and just flurries and like weird whirlwind, snow-looking, tornado-looking things everywhere, and it was just really bad. And this was Christmas morning, so we finished that. Oh, by the way, Christmas morning, 6 a.m. on the dot, Nick Johnson, age 15, normally in bed till noon if you let him.
Right.
Right there at the bed going, we getting up? We getting
up? Of course. Of course.
Dude, Nick, you can't.
Incentive.
You no longer have an excuse as to why you're being so slow getting out of bed, buddy.
Exactly. No more of this, I can't get up.
Yeah.
Because obviously you can.
Yeah, you're in here waking us up at 6. We were hoping you'd all sleep till at least 7. Anyway, we did that. And then we went and saw at 11 a.m., Star Wars again.
Okay.
The Force Unwakens.
The Force Awakens.
The Force Awakens. The Force Awakens. I like that. And it was even better the second time.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about that with you here in a second, because I hear you did similar. And then when we came out, it was sunny, blue skies, no snow, except for what was on the ground in like giant 3 feet of snow. And it was freezing cold, yet beautiful out, right? So the right. snow, the storm had come. It had taken this giant dump, and then it had gone over the mountain to you.
Right.
And then, just had a great day. It was just awesome. And my point is, to sum all this up, it just wasn't, it was a low pressure Christmas. And it was nice and chill. And we got to just hang with the kids and do stuff with, you know, what we wanted to do. And
I'm envious. That's the kind of Christmas I would have wanted, because, I got some cool games for Christmas, right? I got a copy of Star Wars Battlefront. Actually, I got two copies of Star Wars Battlefront, one for the PS4 and one for the Xbox One. Mm. And I don't have an Xbox One. So I traded that for Just Cause 3, based
great
on your
game.
Recommendation.
Great game.
Good recommendation, because I had a blast watching you play that on 4 O'Clock Scott.
Yeah, it's a fun game there.
And I really would like to, you know, have some time to play these games. But we were really running around from one parent house to a grandparent house to a relative house. Like, it was basically nonstop running around from one Christmas thing to another. And everyone was freaking sick. So it's like, you know, we go over to this house. Oh yeah, the kids are sick. We're starting to get the sniffles. Like, oh crap. Tina and I were popping vitamin D pills. Like, I don't know, like we were, someone in a Tarantino film.
Right. Yeah. I was going to ask you about that. If you had the relatives who are sick and not telling people that they're sick until you're over there.
Until we're there. Yeah. Right. Exactly. It's, you know, well, if we tell them, they won't show up.
Yeah. That's the point. We don't want to get sick. Damn it. We can come see you anytime. But so it sounds like you were running a little more ragged than we were.
We were run very ragged, but we still made it out on Christmas Day as well. So Christmas Day was kind of our day, just the us and Tristan. Mm-hmm. Tristan opted out of the movie, went and saw Joy, which.
What do you now? Okay, so this is, I want to make this real clear. David O. Russell,
sure. Yes,
formerly known of making the David O. Russell's American Hustles.
That's right.
Known and, for quality Linux filmmaking. Sure. The one with the wine making dudes. What's that one?
Sideways.
Something else too. What's the other one? You got the Blindings Playbook. You already mentioned what. There's another one.
The Fighter.
The Fighter. That's the other one.
Bale, the Fighter. Three.
Yeah,
kings.
Yeah. So he's got this.
Did he do? I don't think he did Sideways. I thought that was.
Oh, I thought that was him. Do I have that wrong?
No, Sideways was.
Quincy O'Keefe. Flynn McFarkle's nuts.
Anytime that I think I might be able to come up with something.
All right, hold on. Sideways director. I'm going to find it right now. Okay. Oh, Alexander Payne. That's
Alexander
who that is.
Payne. Yeah, the guy who did The Descendants and all that.
And some Nebraska and all that.
Another frequent Oscar nominee.
I would put him in the category that O. Russell and a few other guys all sit in. Sure. They're all very similar filmmakers. Anyways, so you saw Joy.
Saw Joy.
And the reviews are bad for Joy. So I'm they're middling.
Yeah, I mean they're bad for a David O. Russell movie.
Yeah.
You know, like for, you know, if I had the kind of ratings, the Rotten Tomatoes score for a movie I made, I'd feel really good about it. But David O. Russell is usually like in the 80s and 90s because he's so good.
Yeah.
This one I'd say is worth seeing, and it especially rang home because of the entrepreneurial spirit of the main character, of Jennifer Lawrence's character. I didn't realize until the movie was over that it was really based on a true story. Tina's like, oh yeah, you know that was real, right? I'm like, oh, really?
No, and I didn't know that.
Yeah, so Joy is based on Joy Mangiano, I think, who was an inventor in the 60s and 70s. Actually, they show her growing up in the 60s and 70s, but it was really the 80s that she had her epiphany or her somewhat success and then disaster. And that's really what the movie focuses on, is the successes and disasters in her life. And basically it does feel like that. It's like a movie where and I'm not going to spoil anything, people, but it's a movie where you've got this kind of roller coaster ride of, all right, everything's going, oh no, that just happened. Oh, everything's going okay. Oh no, that just happened.
Oh, wow.
And Jennifer Lawrence is fantastic in it. I feel like Bradley Cooper was underutilized, but you couldn't really do much more with the character that he played.
Yeah, he's definitely not top billing anyway. It's clear in the credits and in other ways that he is just sort of in there barely.
Yeah, he really is, and could have used more of him because he's always great. But sure. And movies that have the chemistry between him and Jennifer Lawrence, I think, succeed because of that. They're almost like the Bogey and the Call of this day and age.
Yeah, that's a nice comparison.
Yeah.
Now that you mention that, they're often together. Well, it's usually in his movies, but
right.
But yeah, they're not. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if we get some kind of scandalous tape come out one day.
The Bradley Cooper Jennifer Lawrence sex tape.
Yeah, that one's coming. You know it's coming.
Right. Then it'll be produced by David O. Russell. It'll be great.
It'll be called Jennifer. It'll be called Jen and Rocky Rocket Raccoon in Limitless, the sex tape or something. Right. Anyway. Right. Yeah. Well, that's okay. It's okay.
I wouldn't say it's horrible. I'd say it's one to see, and maybe you wait for video on it. Unfortunately, it's one I have in the movie draft, so I'd like people to go out and see it, but it's good, but not good for a David O. Russell movie. It's great, but it's only good in terms of David O. Russell movies. How's that?
All right. I like that. Let me give you a review. A quip from Damian Straker of ImpulseGamer.com, who says, O. Russell's reach hasn't extended further than a standard archetype or clenched a unique narrative line. What the hell does that even mean?
I don't know.
I hate reviewers. They're the worst. Anyway,
J.K. Grammer just reminded me there. She's 25. Bradley Cooper is 40. So.
Oh. Well, look at that.
15 years. You know what? Courtney Stodd can do it. Why can't...
Hey, they all can. Hey, what's she up to? We never hear about her anymore.
No. She's back with the dude, right?
Is she back with the dude?
Like, they split up and she got back together with him because...
let's look at the news. The latest news is that she wishes you a sexy Christmas.
Of course she does.
Courtney Stodden goes makeup-free and looks unrecognizable on thehollywoodgossip.com. Courtney Stodden and a dog, Cupcake, star in a UK television comeback.
Right.
Courtney Stodden's momager regrets allowing her to marry 51-year-old old man. That's it.
So here we go. November 2013, they signed their legal separation document. In August 2014, the couple announced they had reconciled with plans to renew their wedding vows later that year.
Great. Great. That car wreck isn't done yet.
Nope.
Let it happen. Just let it happen. All right. Anyway. So outside of all the snow and stuff, you did get to see some hockey.
I did. Yeah. So last night was Star Wars night at the Colorado Avalanche, which was the only, I wouldn't say the only reason I went. I mean, it was the reason I went. And I wouldn't have bought tickets otherwise.
Sure.
But I do like going to see Avalanche games. They're just so dang expensive. This was a great deal, though.
They're basically our team over here. We don't have a hockey team, so we look to you to lead.
Look to the Avalanche. Yeah. And they're a good team to look at. Maybe not so much last night. They started out great, but did not finish well. But it was really cool because they have some new special effects stuff on the ice that I had not seen before. And so they were doing the whole Star Wars intro, like, you know, before the team comes out, the whole arena gets dark.
Yeah.
And they do the crawl up the ice. So they've got projectors down on the ice that turn the ice into a gigantic TV. And it's amazingly clear resolution and looks so good. And but they did Left Justified on the crawl.
What?
It's like they'd never seen a Star Wars movie ever.
Really?
Yes. It was the weirdest thing, like seeing it look like a paragraph in a New York Times article.
Why would they do that? That's crazy to me.
I don't know. I don't know who was putting it together, who said, okay, I'll handle the Star Wars stuff. I don't know if I've ever seen one, but they've got that thing that happens at the beginning where letters are going up the screen, right?
Wow. I'm surprised by that.
I am too. And you know that, like, there's all the hockey fans down below who are like, all right, just get to the game. Mm-hmm. And then there's all the Star Wars nerds who probably got level 3 seats like me who are looking down going, that left justified. What the hell?
What a weird thing. Maybe they just couldn't do it, you know?
Something,
maybe their hardware
Photoshop
sucks.
Scroll filter wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah. Who knows? That's something weird. But anyway, so what? But the whole night was themed that way, like
the whole
music.
Night was themed that way. So right. They had a kid. The kids come out and play, and they look like stormtroopers and rebel fighters, and they had.
Oh, that's awesome.
They had the mascot in a stormtrooper outfit, and. Lots of people dressed up in characters, Twi'leks in the audience cheering and stuff. It was pretty good.
That's all right. That sounds all right to me.
Yeah.
Everybody else is getting in on this Star Wars business. Have you seen Star Wars twice now or just the once?
I've seen it twice, but I saw it twice.
Oh, you saw it twice before we talked last. Or, yeah. Okay. I saw it. So I wanted to make this point real quick. I saw it twice. It's Christmas Day, right? Was the last time I saw it. And I really do like it better second time. It's because I think you get out from underneath this cloud of expectation and hype and worry that, oh, are they going to do it? Are they not going to do it? And then you can actually, the second time, you just kind of focus on the movie. And all that other stuff falls away. And it's better. It's a better movie that way.
It is a better movie the second time. I'd actually be curious to see what our friend Randy thought of it the second time. Because he said he saw it a second time. In 3D, even.
Yeah, he's a crack smoker though, because on the show he acted like he kind of hated it in a weird way. But but outside of that, via our conversations on Slack and other things, he sounds like he really liked it. So I cannot tell where he's at, but I assume he's seen it twice now.
Yeah, exactly.
And we'll have to get his opinion next time we.
Oh, Captain Kipper just actually posted a YouTube video somebody took last night, of the stuff going on the rink.
Oh no way!
Yeah, actually. Judging by the way this, and come on, people.
It's somebody's vertical phone thing.
Come on now.
Let's see here. Okay, there's a guy.
This person might have been sitting by me because this looks like our point of view.
This is your angle? Well, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
All right. They got some kind of getting ready for the avalanche. Got some countdown timer.
Yeah, let me have you jump to.
Yeah, where do we want to go here?
1 minute, 38 seconds.
Can do. All right, here we go. We're at minute 35. Okay, they got the galaxy a long time ago. Okay, then we got the Star Wars name.
Nope, they're sitting the opposite way because the crawl was going up from my point of view.
Oh, they have a good scrawl. Oh, it is Duff Justified.
Yeah. How weird does that look?
It looks so wrong. You know, at first you're like, oh, okay, this is working. And then, no, that's so wrong, you guys. Freaking fix that. Dummies. Yeah. Anyway, good times.
So there you go.
Good times. All right.
And lots of fights.
Good.
You want lots of fighting in your hockey, and they did not disappoint.
Yeah, I'm down with that. That sounds all right to me. Also, I thought I was being fooled this weekend. My daughter, Taylor, and her new husband, Dylan. I don't know when I have to stop calling them new. They've been married a year. So right. I guess they're not.
I think
newly.
That's the. I think 1 year is the cutoff.
Is that the cutoff? All right, because that's the time either things aren't working out and you quickly get it annulled, or you're sticking it out, right?
That's right. Yeah.
So they're doing great, and they went to Phoenix for a wedding of a friend of theirs, and they did that right before Christmas, and it was kind of crazy, all the travel and everything. But they did that, and then stayed with my brother Mark out there while they were there, and then borrowed one of their cars, and it was great. They got to hang out and stuff. And Mark sends me this text while they're out there because we had made Taylor promise, don't see Star Wars till Christmas Day with us because they couldn't see it till Christmas Day with us. I said, don't let them take you to see it because we want to see it with you the first time, right? This is like, you know, she's my first kid. We, you know, I raised her on Star Wars. I gave her first taste of Star Wars, you know? So I wanted to have this moment with her. And so they go out there and I get a text from Mark like on, I don't know, 23rd or something and says, oh, man, we just got out of Star Wars. It was so good. And I said, what? And he writes back and he goes, oh, I guess I'm not supposed to tell you that. So she goes, when Taylor gets home, don't say anything. I said, okay, fine. So here's how it all ends up on Christmas Day. I see Taylor. She comes into the theater there. I said, how excited are you for this? And I'm trying to like see if she's going to lie to me or whatever.
Right.
She goes, Dad, I'm totally excited and I need you to know something. I said, what? And I thought she was going to confess.
Right.
She goes, Mark was lying. We didn't see it because we couldn't get tickets. It was sold out everywhere. So we were going to try to, but we ended up not seeing it. So this is my first time and your brother is just playing a trick on you. Ha ha, gotcha. So she didn't see it, A, and B, they turned it around on me and made me, you know.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, made me the idiot. Which
you're
is,
all yeah. figuring out how you're going to work, like tricking her into admitting that she'd seen it.
Yeah, it's basically the story of my relationship with my brother Mark. That's basically it. If you guys want to, you want the Cliff Notes version of my entire life with Mark, that's it right there.
That's it right there in a nutshell.
Yep. All right. We're going to do something now that's a little bit different, a little bit off the beaten path. It's not that different if you listened to the show before. But today we are going to have one of these.
Call now.
For people to enjoy Stump a Trek Nerd. You get to be the person we stump. Hold on to this number, 801-895-4724. You'll be able to call in live. We'll add you to the call, and you will be asked today's question. Here's the theme. It's Stump a Trek Nerd, brought to you by...
My new Android game is a simple time waster about a man with propeller on his head.
Whoa.
Try for as much altitude as possible while dodging planes and drones. I'd love hearing your comments and suggestions. It's in the Google Play Store, and it's free!
Free!
It's called Willy Blend. Free! Willy Blend.
Free.
Free.
Yeah.
Go get it. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. Right.
Go check it out. All right. We're going to... I was going to tell you one other thing, but I think I'll save it for... Dan's going to be on later this week.
Okay.
We're going to talk about that Codenames game.
Yes.
Which I played with the family the other night, and oh my lord, that game is good.
Yeah, it's a blast.
It's real good. Real good.
We played it as well on Christmas Eve, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, complete blast. Anyway, 801-895-4724, call in now. Oh, weird, I got one, but it's not letting me add. It only lets me put you on hold. I don't like that.
Mm.
So here's what we're going to do for that. Since he was the first one to call, I know his name already, so I'm going to add him. Maybe it won't let me. Let's see, can I just add you to the call? Can I just click on your name there? And can I?
Why don't you just tell me the name of the person you'd like to add to the call?
Says he's offline. Ah, it's not working. All right, keep trying, everybody. 801-895-4724. You'll get the chance to answer this here question while we wait for our first caller any moment now. And I'll take the very first one that lets me add you to the call. I got to tell you about my binging, or at least the starting of my binging of...
Leftovers. It's funny. I get your text. We went bowling that night. And I get your text, and you're like, binging on leftovers, S2. I'm like, oh, yeah, Christmas leftovers. Gotta love it. You know, turkey, stuffing, whatever you guys normally have. That's cool. I wonder what right. S2 is.
Yeah.
And then it dawned on me, oh, season two of Leftovers.
Yeah. Oh, duh. All right. Yeah, no, you're right. Here we got a call. Hold on. Okay. And I'll save this for in a second.
Sure.
Hi, you're on the air. Who's this?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Oh, there Hello? We go.
Hi, who's this?
It's Diced Tomato.
Diced Tomato. We know him. He's in the chat room all the time, dicing those tomatoes.
Creating our bingo cards, too.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, not in the chat room today, but I can hear you guys.
Oh, good. All right. Well, no worries. That means you just won't cheat. We like this even better. good to have you on the show. Are you ready to be stumped with a Star Trek question?
Go for it.
All right. How versed are you in the Next Generation? Is that your go-to? Is that your Star Trek of choice?
My go-to would be DS9, but I've blasted through all of Next Generation on its first run.
All right. I like it. Blasting through is good.
Yes.
In the Next Generation episode, here's your question. Suddenly Human, that's the episode. The Enterprise discovers a boy who is being raised by the Talarians. The boy is raised by them after they destroyed the ship his parents were on. A Talarian named Endar, is that right? Yeah, Endar, demands the Enterprise return the boy to him. The boy tries to murder Picard and is held in security. He tells Riker to send his son to his ship. What is the name of Endar's ship? Here are your options, A through D. The Belak, the Koraga.
Koraga, I think.
Koraga, sure. Why not?
Why not?
The Kumare. Khmer. How would you say that one, Brian?
That one I would have said, yeah, like you said it, either Khmer or Khmer.
Khmer, yeah. One of those two. It's a Q apostrophe. It's like a World of Warcraft boss name. Okay. And then finally, the Talvath. So it's the Black, the Karaga, the Khmer, or the Talvath. Talvath.
Khmer sounds Klingon, so we're going to throw that one out.
All right.
Okay.
What was that second one? The Galaga? The what?
The Karaga?
I wish it was the Galaga so bad.
Let's see. I don't have a this day in Trek to make it longer, so we're gonna go.
Where do we have anything to eat?
Yeah, you could have just faked it and said, "Today on this day in 1972, it was the 20th day of filming."
I do have some tasty beef jerky.
Ooh, that sounds all right.
Some Ningwa beef jerky. It's really, really good.
Oh, that sounds really good. So that's funny you brought that up. Beef jerky? I got the best white elephant on Christmas Eve. We were doing a big family thing at my mom's, and I ended up with whatever. Nobody seemed to want this package I got, but I had a feeling about it. There was something about it that I just thought, you know what? I want this. I'm going to trade down till I get it.
Right, because you guys do the white elephant steal
yeah.
thing. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I ended up with, and no one stole it, which I couldn't believe, but I ended up with this big bag of Korean barbecue jerky.
Oh, it's right here.
My girlfriend and I were talking about Korean barbecue jerky earlier today. We couldn't figure out if that was going to be any good or not.
It's so good, dude. It's so freaking good. It's pork.
Korean barbecue is good, so I can't understand why Korean barbecue jerky wouldn't be.
Well, for the record, it is, let's see, here it is. I have it right in my hand. It's fire-grilled pork jerky. It is real good. Says it's all natural. No added hormones with a asterisk. That makes me nervous. Gluten-free and no nitrates. So I'm eating healthy Golden Island Korean barbecue jerky for breakfast today. So there you have it.
Sir.
Yeah. I got lucky. Like everybody else ended up with like stupid salt shakers and, you know, dumb stuff. Bag of peanuts or whatever. This was the bomb. Anyway, so where were we? Oh, you were evaluating.
Option B.
Yeah. You think B, the Khoraga? What is it?
Khoraga?
Khoraga. It's not the Khoraga, it's not the Khoraga, Brian. It's not Khoraga.
I don't think it's the Khoraga. Okay. Lady Khoraga.
Khoraga. Got it. all right, the Khoraga. Let's find out if
he's
right.
I thought it was Galaga at first, so.
Well, if you're right, you get a print. And because today I feel generous and because Christmas just happened, if you're wrong, you still get a print.
Yeah. Guess what that probably means for you, Dice Tamir. He probably wouldn't say that if you were right, would he?
Well, who knows? Let's find out. Is that right? No. Turns out it's the one you think sounds Klingon. It's the Khmer. His ship is the Khmer and demands Riker get his son ready to be transported. Here's a clip of it all going down right here.
I repeat, you will prepare my son for immediate transport. If he is not aboard the Khmer in 5 minutes, you will suffer the consequences.
He's a little dramatic, I think, that guy.
In 5 minutes.
5 space minutes, whatever those are.
I think it's a clip you should save.
Yeah, I think that one's all right. All right, so there you go. Either way, you win a thing. Here's all you have to do. Just email me, scott@frogpants.com sometime when you got a minute, and I'll hook you up. I'll tell you what, folks, the reason I'm doing that, turns out Dice Tomato is a huge part of our community. The Tadpool in specific, I don't think operates at the same fast, wicked pace without him. And I feel like you deserve a thing, even if you got your question wrong. So
true. Yeah, his stuff that he does for the... for the bingo card alone, and by the way, my bezel for Coverville.
Oh yeah,
is designed by Dice Tomato. So
yep, he's dicing tomatoes and making bezels every
and let's,
day.
We'll talk. Let's talk sometime in the next couple weeks about a new one because I think my head is too big. I mean, it's my head is too big, but it's also too big in the.
Yeah, he has a fat head, is what he's saying.
I have a big fat head, and I'd like to reduce that.
Stay out of trouble, dude. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. And we'll talk to you soon in the Tadpool, is my thinking.
You have a happy new year too, sir.
See you later. All right. Off he goes. He is awesome. I like him a lot. He was a Nerdtacular. Very nice guy.
Yes.
There you go. congratulations, everyone involved in that whole experiment that we just had together without Daryl. Daryl has this thing where if he's not working, forget it. There's no.
Oh yeah, I know. Yeah. Like the only time that he can ever do Trek Nerd is at work. You'd think that. Oh yeah, I'm at home. It'll be easier for me. No.
No. It's the opposite of all other people
actually,
I know.
No one in his family knows. It's like his secret identity is the Trek Nerd.
Or his shame. What if it's his shame?
His secret shame is the Trek Nerd.
It could be his shame. I don't know now. Maybe we've outed him. Maybe they think he's at work doing all kinds of important, you know, governmental work or whatever. But then he comes home and is all prim and proper. But really, he's just being a dork talking about Star Trek and they don't know it.
Wow. You've blown this thing wide open, Johnson.
Wide open.
Wide open.
That's what I need you to be, said my proctologist. All right, what are we doing? We're going to play this. Hold on.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news, and it's brought to you by
Newegg. Visit Newegg.com today, and be sure to shop Newegg's XYZ printing store for a great selection of 3D printers, filaments, and accessories.
If you got something for Christmas, great place to go. Fill that thing up, print some stuff.
Yeah.
We absolutely love ours. All right. Star Wars broke another huge box office milestone, another record.
This will make Brushwood happy.
It sure should. It's the first movie to get to 1 billion the fastest. So it's the fastest to billion in movie history. That is 1/4 of the price of what they paid for the Star Wars universe from George Lucas. And we were trying to do the math the other day. My brother-in-law and I were trying to figure out, we didn't get very far, but we were trying to figure out how long it would take for them to get that investment back. Mm-hmm. And we figure somewhere in the range of like 5 years will be enough to profit from it.
I think so. Yeah.
You'll break even sooner than that. And this is definitely a long-term plan for them, but we were thinking somewhere between 3 and 5 years or something. Mm-hmm. And then you've basically paid. You've paid off that debt.
You've made your money, right? You've got your ROI.
Yeah. I like the idea that I know this is wrong. I know this is not how it works, but I like the idea that they have to go to his house and bring him regular quarterly checks. Like, here you go, George.
Is that really how they do it?
They don't, but I like to think they do.
Yeah.
There's no way they do that. I think they paid it all up front.
Come in. Please take your shoes off.
Yeah, shoes off, guys. Remember, I just did that. I cleaned this floor just now. Could you sit in the chair there and... Here's some tea.
Don't pull the plastic off.
Mr. Lucas, I'm sorry we're short about $2 million on this month's check.
Okay, now I told you last time, no Star Wars if you can't pay me back.
Like, I want that. I want like the friendly exchange that all the rest of us have to have with people.
Oh, that's awesome.
That would be great. But anyway, yeah, it's continuing to make tons of money. This, according to the AP, the movie reached the money milestone, meaning The Force Awakens now holds the record for the biggest domestic opening and biggest worldwide opening, as well as the fastest to reach 1 billion. Still, the film has a long way to go if it wants to beat the box office champ Gone with the Wind, which has been adjusted for inflation. The 1940 film, 48 film, brought in $3.4 billion if you adjust for inflation. That's crazy.
It is crazy, right? I mean, you think about that is like everybody goes and sees that movie every week for a month,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah. I mean, it must have been the only entertainment in town at the time or something.
Yeah.
1940. So that was like, were we in the throes? No, we weren't even in the throes of World War II yet, were we? Had we entered the war? When was Pearl Harbor? I don't remember now.
1940, December 7th, 1941.
41, so a year later. Mm-hmm. This is really a long time ago. And this is the frankly, my dear, I don't give a shit.
That's correct, okay. Yes. Not quite, but yes.
Oh, okay. It was that year. It was that
Butler
era.
And Butterfly McQueen and...
Who was the lady? What was her name?
That was...
Marianne Ginger. Frances McDormand. Lady Macbeth. Nope.
Who?
Chandler.
Who was Scarlett O'Hara? I should know this.
Francine.
Vivian Leigh.
Vivian, yes. Leigh. That's it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 1939 was when Gone with the Wind came out. And I was thinking that I thought it was the first color film, but I guess it wasn't. There were color films before that.
It was definitely one of the more prominent ones, though. Right?
Right.
Like one you look back on and go, oh yeah, color. Remember? There's like fire, and you can see the red and the fire, and the yellow and the orange, and everybody's on fire.
Right.
I remember nothing about that movie. I've seen it. I don't remember a damn thing. I remember there was a guy who's all pissed all the time and a lady who's always in trouble or something.
Yep.
That it? That's the plot?
That's the plot right there.
All right. Yes. They don't have the same catch. I mean, frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn is not quite on par with Use the Force, Luke, or, well, what quotes do we have from the new one? Do we have any yet? We don't really have any yet, do we? Have any quotes surfaced as, whoa, that's an iconic thing we'll always say over
and
over?
The only one that I've heard repeated outside of seeing the movie was, that's not how the Force works.
Oh, yeah.
Or the Force doesn't work like that or something like that. It's,
yeah, whatever he said.
Yeah.
Or she said. We're not spoiling anything. We don't know.
Right.
We don't know who said it.
Could have been a robot said it. Beep, 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 boop, boop,
beep, beep, boop, beep. All right. There's that. I'll probably see it. Well, I don't know if I'll see it a third time or not in the theater. I mean, I don't know.
I kind of want to see it in 3D now, but not for a while. I'm ready for a little bit of a break. Well, it's Oscar time. So it's, you know, if we're seeing movies in the theater, it is stuff that we think are going to be Oscar nominees.
Yeah. What's next?
So
what's
Revenant.
Up? Oh, Revenant. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hateful Eight.
When's that Revenant hit wide release? Is that out now?
Revenant doesn't come out till January 8th, I think.
Okay, but they...
So 2 weeks.
It's still considered for a 2015 Oscar? Do they do that? I guess they do.
Yeah, I think they do. And it's funny because it was released at Cannes or something like that. I think that's how they skirt that. Uh-huh. But I thought that it was supposed to be a Christmas release. The Revenant, Hateful Eight, and Joy were all supposed to be Christmas releases.
Yeah.
And I wonder if stuff got moved around when...
Oh, yeah. Star Wars dicked everyone over.
Really did, especially Tarantino.
Yeah, he's pissed.
He is.
He's still pissed. He's just yelling. Meh, he's saying, meh.
I need some feet. Calm me down. Somebody
give me
bring me some feet.
I need some feet. Ow. I'm not going to be able to calm down and talk about this. So I have some feet. Give me some feet.
And Hateful Eight isn't even really in full release because it's in, it was like, they called it something, the pre-release roadshow or something. So it just got started.
Yeah, which is like the 70 millimeter film camera crap first,
right,
and then
right.
All the
exactly.
other stuff later.
Major spoiler says, Coverville, don't get me started on Hateful Eight. Just saying. So,
oh, really?
I can't wait to get Steven started when we talk to him later on this morning.
Yeah, I want to hear about that. So is that actually being reviewed yet? Let's see. I don't see it. It might not be in enough release to have even reviews yet. Let's see. Hateful Eight. Oh, no, here it is. 76% on Rotten Tomatoes. That seems all right. There are a few people who... oh, that's not a nice thing for him to say to him.
Major Spoiler says, the Hateful Eight Roadshow will be my Niagara Falls.
Oh, what does that mean?
It means that that is how he is going to finally reveal his powers to Lois Lane.
Oh.
He's going to save a kid and then fall in the fire and Lois will figure it out.
Leave it to Steven.
Spoiler.
Listen, you can't. He's now locked himself in. He can't leave the podcast without ripping a big cellophane logo off his chest and throwing it at me.
Exactly.
That's the deal. Well, anyway.
All right, we'll get to that.
Good luck to all those people.
So, Gone with the Wind did really well.
Robert.
still kicking it.
Robert Downey Jr. Oh, Robert Downey Jr. Got it. He's been pardoned for drug convictions in California.
Interesting.
Governor Jerry Brown. I love that guy's name. He sounds like a jazz singer. Jerry Brown.
Jerry Brown.
Just made Robert Downey Jr.'s Christmas a little more merry. The Iron Man star has been pardoned for his drug convictions in the late 90s, or in the 90s, rather. Downey's official forgiving was one of 91 issued by Brown, who has made the pardons a December 24th habit. A habit. That's funny. Mm-hmm. Drug convictions. And his habit is pardoning them. That's funny.
Right. Exactly. Well, I think, just pardons in general, not necessarily drug drug related.
Yeah, I guess so. It could be other stuff, assaults and things or whatever. Why is this a thing you do anyways? Like, why would you pardon?
I would say publicity primarily, because I can think of a reason, you know, are we going to like Robert Downey Jr. more? Is he now eligible for something that he wasn't eligible before?
No. I mean, he's the highest paid actor in Hollywood right now.
Yeah.
Like, why? What's the problem?
Well, now that you've been forgiven for, now you can run for Congress or something.
Sky's the limit.
That's right.
It says Downey's official forgiving was one of 91. I already said that. Back in October, Downey was inducted into the California Hall of Fame. Quote, I think I might be the first inductee who has been in the correctional system, he later joked at a pre-Thanksgiving appearance on Jimmy Kimmel Live. By completion of his sentence and good conduct in the community of his residence since his release, Robert John Downey Jr. has paid his debt to society and earned a full unconditional pardon, reads the declaration.
And then Jerry Brown dumped a slushie on him on the escalator.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. That's what we want. Hey, you know what I haven't heard a thing about from about the 23rd up till today, like the entirety of the holidays? I haven't heard a damn thing about Donald Trump. Did he disappear? Oh. Did something go? What happened there?
You've just been lucky. Just been avoiding the news. He's been sadly very vocal and calling out not just Hillary now, but Bill. Like he's
oh, here he is. Bill Clinton has a terrible record of woman abuse.
Yeah, exactly.
Is it because the last thing I remember hearing about was a tweet where he had said to Hillary, I have great respect for women. Women love me, so watch it, or something like that, which was both a check me out, I love women, and also don't do anything that will make me hate women or whatever.
That's the best combination of I'm a nice guy and threat all in one tweet, all in 140 characters. Yeah, well done, sir.
That was the last I'd seen. All right, so there's more. There's been more. Maybe I'm just getting better at avoiding it.
Yeah, I think you are. Good for you.
All right.
Unfortunately, the Today Show always leads with Donald Trump in the news again.
Let's see. It says here. Oh, okay. Interesting. Huckabee's going the other direction. I guess Huckabee's still in. Yeah, he's still contending.
Really?
Yeah.
He's so on the undercard. He's almost off the stage on the undercard.
Yeah. Huckabee's a huckapoo. He's gone. He's out. Hillary Clinton has announced that she is letting her husband letting her husband out to campaign, but he's demonstrated a penchant for sexism. So inappropriate, says Donald Trump. If Hillary thinks she can unleash her husband with his terrible record of woman abuse while playing the women card on me, she's wrong. Oh, I can't go down this road. I gotta get out.
Sexism means I'm irresistible to women. Then fine, I can live with that. There's your crappy brand impersonation of the day. Check that off on Dice Tomatoes Bingo Card.
Yeah, if that's on your bingo card, take it off.
Such a fine line between sexy and sexism.
Is this all being said because of his Monica Lewinsky thing, or is there some other stuff?
I have no idea. No, I don't know. It's weird. It's because that's the only, and I don't know if I would consider that sexist. It was definitely,
it was philandering.
Inappropriate.
Sure. It was probably wrong. It probably had some, you know, moral, downsides. Plus he lied about it.
Right, exactly. But I wouldn't say it was sexist.
I don't know that he... Yeah, that's weird to me.
Does sexist mean that I'm just really good at it?
I think you left out an eye. It's the sexiest. Like an expert. I'm the sexiest one. Give me another Big Mac.
People's most sexist. List.
Yeah, that'd be great. If he's the People Magazine's sexiest man alive, and they screwed up and called him the sexiest man alive.
Nice.
Anyway, so there's that. If you want to get pardoned for some crime you did, then I think California is where you should live, and you got to be a successful actor to do it.
There you go. Do it.
Disneyland is shuttering attractions. Why? Because they are making way for Star Wars Land. Disneyland's large-scale expansion to accommodate a new area of Star Wars-related attractions is expected to bring hordes of new fans to the theme park, but it will spell the end for older attractions. Brian, do you want to make any guesses as to what's getting dumped?
It's funny because before I read the headline, I was thinking to myself, or I mean, I'm sorry, before I read the copy under the headline, I read the headline, I was thinking, please be Tom Sawyer Island, please be Tom Sawyer Island.
Well, I got some news for you then. To make room for the new features, the park will permanently close the following things. Big Thunder Ranch in Frontierland.
Fine.
Fine. Big Thunder Ranch Barbecue.
Good.
Big Thunder Ranch Petting Zoo.
Didn't even hear of it.
Big Thunder Ranch Jamboree.
That's a thing?
I think it's like animatronic animal crap.
Is it? I thought it was just like a dance, like it's like a saloon thing where they have dancing every hour.
Maybe.
Yeah, I thought they only had the Country Bear Jamboree was the only.
I don't like the term jamboree at all.
Really?
I hate it.
Jamboree.
It's a jamboree, everyone. No, it's not. It's stupid. Disney is wasting no time in ushering out the old to make room for the new. The area slated for closure will be shuttering starting January 10th. This according to the Los Angeles Times. Nearby attractions on Rivers of America will also be temporarily closed. This includes Fantasmic. I don't remember that.
That's their night show, like that they do, kind of like you've got the electric parade.
Yeah.
And now you've got this other thing where everybody gathers around Tom Sawyer Island for hours before it happens, plopping down portable chairs and blankets so that they can score their space. And then they project animation on top of water fountains and stuff.
Well, I don't think I've seen it, actually, now that you say all that. Mm-hmm. Well, the Mark Twain Riverboat, that is also temporarily being shut down, along with the sailing ship Columbia, the Pirate's Lair on Tom Sawyer's Island, and the Disneyland Railroad, as well as the Davy Crockett Explorer Canoes.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's... I don't know. It's one of those things that you see in all of the old photos of Disneyland, all that stuff on Tom Sawyer Island. And and my Uncle Anthony, who lives out there, is a huge fan. Like when we went out there 2 years ago, and Tristan and I did that before BlizzCon, my uncle joined us and we had to go to Tom Sawyer Island because Anthony loves Tom Sawyer Island. Mm-hmm. And it's basically you run around. There's a thing to climb around in, some chair, you know, some busted out castles and lairs and stuff. Not even really a castle. It's the pirate lair. And
I like that you said chairs at first because it sounded like you were describing the worst possible attraction. It's like
it still is the worst possible attraction.
There's some things to climb around on and some chairs.
And some chairs. There are some like benches and you can look at trees and a duck and whatever.
Wow.
And the majority of the ride is spent waiting for a boat to take you back to all the good rides.
Wow.
It's like Hotel California. You can get to the island really quickly and easily. It's like, oh yeah, here's 11 ways to get back or get over to Tom Sawyer Island. But you've got to wait for the next little platformy boat thing to take you off the island. And oh no, you just missed the Enchanted Tiki Room time.
There's a whole generation that loved that their Star Wars was coonskin caps
Davy Crockett and all that.
Right,
exactly. And Pioneers and...
Sure. They loved that stuff. That was their thing.
Cowboys and Indians and stuff. Yeah.
Sure. So I get why that stuff has lasted, but I think this is probably the right stuff to be moving around and shedding.
I think so. Yeah.
Although it sounds like some of that's just temporary. Like the most of that Tom Sawyer Island stuff is all temporary.
Right. It looks like
closures.
The Tom Sawyer Island is really just temporarily while they probably get stuff built. Here's my thinking is they're going to be building stuff all on the other side of the river that goes around Tom Sawyer Island. Mm-hmm. And if you were to go to Tom Sawyer Island and climb up on top of the pirate lair, you'd probably be able to see what they're doing.
I like it.
So this is them saying, nah, we're going to keep it a secret as much as possible.
Yeah, we need to keep people off it. That's a good point. I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
It's not just that they're all sharing power outlets or something. They have to keep it out of view. Right.
Who knows? Maybe that too.
Yeah, that extension cord is not quite going to reach. Shut down that. Supreme Leader Snoke's Wild Ride. Yes, strike it, Rich. I would ride that. Okay, so that brings up a good point, Brian. We need to make some predictions here.
Okay.
What do you think the new attractions will be? What based in Star Wars, what things will we see?
Sure.
That aren't 3D, you know, sitting inside of a box, rocking around crap like the Star Tours. Yeah.
Sure. Which is really good, by the way. I mean, that's actually...
Oh, I like them too. But it can't all be that. You know what I mean?
No. Yeah. All right, I'm predicting a Dumbo-style circular ride with X-Wing fighters.
Okay.
That you know, ride around and spin around in those.
Yeah, that sounds all right.
Maybe
it's a combination of X-Wings and TIE fighters.
Right.
Chasing each other.
There'll be a big Indiana Jones-style ride where it's, you know, you get into a vehicle and it takes you through... sort of dioramas, animatronic dioramas, and it's sort of roller coastery and fast moving and stuff like that, you know, things that drop down on you. And my guess is that it'll be a trip through Endor. That's my prediction.
Oh, interesting. Between like you're on speeder, not on speeder bikes, but you're on some kind of
right. Maybe you're on speeder bikes or like on a right in like a speeder vessel.
Okay, a speeder going, vessel. I like
right,
it.
Avoiding the trees and stuff like that, and then
that seems all right.
Going off into space.
Guaranteed, yeah. There will be a cantina.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Guaranteed. Yep. There should be. Trying to think of some older stuff too. Mm-hmm. See, if they're smart, the way that they'll do that ride though is it will pass by a lot of notable places. Like it'll look like you're tipping into the Sarlacc pit, but just barely miss
well,
it.
Well, they do, and they do kind of do that with Star Tours, right? Where mm-hmm. you get, oh, now on this one we're going to go to Hoth, or over on this one we're going to go to Tatooine or whatever, and mm-hmm. so you get all of those old Star Wars locations and buzz through. And you kind of, I think there is an Endor one where you buzz through the trees. Maybe Hoth would be a better one.
Maybe.
Because then you got the, you've got walkers and you're flying through the walkers and maybe you throw out a tow cable and trip one of them up. Or you go through a cave and there's wampas all over the place.
Maybe there's a swamp log flume.
Like a Dagobah swamp log flume?
Yeah. And you could you get
that'd be pretty cool.
You got to dig through some weird creature's food, or no, he digs through your food, and then you call him smelly and whatever, and he says smelly, wet, or what does he
my
say?
Home this, my park this is, my section of Disneyland this is. Stop by the Dagobah Cantina and pick up some tasty bowls of glop. And blue milk.
Glop and blue milk. Mm.
Stop at the gift shop, you will.
By the way, there was one thing in the movie. I'm not going to say what it is, but there was one thing in the movie that if you do see it a third time, or maybe I can ask if you saw it the second time. There's a scene where Finn is digging through a bag of things, trying to find something. Did you see the object he found?
Yes. I saw that the first time, and I nudged George, and I said, oh, look at that.
Completely missed it the first time. Don't know how I didn't see that. Must have blinked or something. It was very quick.
Yes.
But if you haven't seen the movie yet, folks, that's something to look out for. By the way, we will be nearing very soon the 2 weeks of spoiler limitation. We are going to add another week padding onto it because we're going to do that for you folks. And that doesn't mean after that we're just going to go crazy, but I'm tired of dancing around it. So
there's... Right. I mean, I think that if you look at the movie, there are minor things that happen and there are major things that happen. And I still, even after 3 weeks, won't feel comfortable talking about the major things that happen.
Yeah. And there's no really need to anyway. But
But the fact that there's an X-Wing pilot named after a Beastie Boys album. Sure. I think we can talk about that.
I think
that.
We can totally do that. Paul's Boutique. That's great.
That's right.
He's the excellent pilot. And
his name is Brass Monkey, that funky X-Wing monkey.
What else? We got one final story here about some chickens.
Okay.
An angry man. What's his power?
We haven't done one of these. Turns red at the drop of a hat.
Wow. That's
Celsius. He's angry. That's his power.
That's
you
a terrible,
silly person.
Terrible power. Celsius. Angry man leaves a flock of chickens inside of his tax office.
Oregon man.
He's angry with his tax situation. He left a flock of seven. I guess seven is enough to call it a flock. A flock of seven chickens inside of a state revenue office. Police in Eugene, Oregon, said in a news release they responded to a report Wednesday afternoon of chickens left in the lobby of an Oregon Department of Revenue. Police and the animal welfare rounded up the fowl. And they were taken to an animal shelter. Officers gave 66-year-old Lewis Adler,
I'm so pissed, I'm giving you my chickens,
of Cresswell a trespass notice.
This will keep them occupied for minutes.
For a whole few minutes.
This will slightly inconvenience them.
And give them a story to talk about for years. This requires him to stay away from that office for risk of citation. Is a citation all that much of a risk? Who cares? You get cited?
Yeah. What does that mean? No, a citation.
Oh, no.
A stern warning.
You don't get a star on your forehead today.
This is like... It's like the weakest event and repercussions ever.
Yeah, totally.
I'm going to get you. I'm going to leave seven chickens in your lobby.
Oh no, you're gonna get a citation.
Too bad they're the stupidest animals ever, and they don't doesn't take much to just kick them out of the way.
Right.
A register guard.
We've learned anything from Final Fantasy, it's the kicking chickens is really easy.
I think you're thinking of is Final Fantasy kick chickens?
It was. What's the thing where you have the chickens and you just got to kick them out of the way?
Is that Zelda? What is it?
That's right. You do in Zelda too. I use their chocobos and they're bigger. And
you ride them. You sit on them and ride them, don't you? Yeah. They're in the Final Fantasy.
Should have left some chocobos in the lobby.
Yeah,
that would be a pain in the butt.
Yeah, there's your sticky wicket. The register guard, which I guess is their paper. Is that familiar to you when you were doing the paper thing?
No, we didn't have Eugene as a customer.
Well, anyway, no animals or peoples. Yeah, the what?
At the Bend Bulletin.
The Bend Bulletin?
The Bend Bulletin.
B-E-N-D?
B-E-N-D,
well, yes. I've never been to Bend, Oregon.
Bend Bulletin. It's a ski town, and it's beautiful.
Oh, it sounds all right.
Yeah.
I'll go there. The register guard says that no animals or people were injured. Alder couldn't immediately be reached for comment. He was too busy trying to figure out what is he going to do now that all his chickens are gone.
Oh, no.
Oh, shit.
That plan backfired on me. Now I have zero chickens.
I forgot about my eggs. How will I have breakfast? Damn it. All right. Good job, Oregon man. We're going to take a break. When we come back, it's major spoilers and some emails after that. Before we do, though, as is tradition, Brian brought music.
I did. Hello, toilet paper brand and misspelled brain, says Stephanie.
Hmm.
This song request goes out to Kyle, my lover and best friend of nearly 8 years. A few months ago, he did a birthday request for me, and I wanted to surprise him by doing the same. His 27th birthday is the 27th. It's a golden birthday, but seeing how it's Sunday, my request made sense for the 28th. You guys, I can't even begin to explain how lucky I am to have found Kyle. He is the most respectful, loving, geeky, smart, and intelligent man that I have ever met. He even introduced me to the morning stream years back, so I ask that you two on TMS play a cover by our favorite artist, TRS, aka The Rocket Summer, of Colin Hay's I Just Don't Think I'll Get Over You. Whilst the song plays, let's take this tender moment to bask in the crisp air that smells of bacon and a type of sharp cheese.
The tender crisp bacon cheddar ranch.
I was ready because it was long.
Yes. Plug the hole, Joe. Signed, Stephanie.
Nice.
Very good. All right. So, yes, this is The Rocket Summer. And their cover of Colin Hay's I Just Don't Think I'll Get Over You. This comes from their EP called The Rocket Summer EP that came out in 2007. Beautiful song. The original version found in one of your favorite movies, Scott.
Mm.
Garden State.
Oh, I was going to say.
At least one of your favorite soundtracks.
I like Garden State. Actually, I do like the movie. It's a little pretentious and a little art fart for no reason.
Yeah.
But the soundtrack is amazing.
Yeah.
Exactly. One of the best in film history, to be honest. So
agreed.
Oh, the one thing I didn't ever say before. You know what? I'll talk about it on the other side, but I got to talk about Leftover Season 2.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's funny. We mentioned it, but we didn't.
The part I'm not even talking about story or anything like that because I'm not even done with it yet. But I am, first of all, I am absolutely loving it, but I have some music questions for you after the break.
Oh, sure. Okay. Cool.
So we'll get to that in a minute. Thanks, everybody. We'll be right back.
I drink a coffee every morning. It comes from a place that's far away. And when I'm done, I feel like talking. Without you here, there is less to say. I don't want you thinking I'm unhappy. What is closer to the truth? As if I lived till I was 102. I just don't think I'll ever get over you. longer moved to drink strong whiskey. I shook the hand of time and I knew that if I lived till I could no longer climb my stairs, I just don't think I'll ever get over you. Face it dances and it haunts me. Your laughter's still ringing in my ears. I still find pieces of your presence here. Even after all these years, I don't want you thinking I don't get asked to dinner, 'cause I'm here to say that I sometimes do. And even though I may soon feel a touch of love, I just don't think I'll ever get over you. And if I lived till I was 102, I just don't think I'll ever get over you.
Guess what? Corey Haim and Corey Feldman are giving out their personal numbers. Corey Haim and Corey Feldman are giving out their personal numbers. If you call 1-900-909-3700, you can listen to their private phone messages and get their personal number where you can leave them a message of your own. $2 the first minute, 45 cents each additional minute. Ask your parents before you call. 1-900-909-3700.
If you call me right now, I'll give you my private number. You call that number and you'll hear a recording, and I'll give you my personal number if you call that. And we'll wrap.
When we find that media, we'll find Dr. Wowie.
Sit down and listen, punk. This is the morning stream.
Well, I was really Johnny on the finger there at the.
You were.
I did not mean to hit that
so
early.
Excited to hear about Corey Haim and Corey Feldman and their 1-900 number, aren't you?
Yeah, well, if I call it, he'll give me his personal number. Right. And then we'll rap.
I bet that would work now. I bet you could get Corey Feldman's personal number.
Yeah, you probably could. I think he's looking for work, everybody. Yeah. So help him out. Help a guy out, will you? All right. Steven Schleicher time.
Mm-hmm. Well, you want to talk really quickly about Leftovers?
Yeah, let's talk about Leftovers. So you already knew I was a huge fan of the first season, and I really, really like season two.
Yeah.
It got losty as hell. Yes. And I like that a lot. And so In fact, I just got to the, I'll just tell you this way, so for those who haven't seen it, don't get to spoil anything, but I got to the episode where he's in that hotel and wears a suit. You'll know what I mean.
Oh, yeah, that's some crazy business.
Yeah, I don't know even what to think. So that's where I'm at right now. Yeah. Love it, but one of the things that surprised me that I didn't expect, I love the first season soundtrack, but mostly that was that stuff from that Richter, I forget his first name, he's the musician who does the kind of piano stuff that they always use for their for their tense moments or whatever.
Right.
And there's
a consistent theme that you hear throughout season one of The Leftovers. You hear a little bit in the second one, but... Mm-hmm.
And it's a very kind of discordant sort of nervous theme. I really like it. I've always liked it. And I expected a lot more of that this season, and we're getting it. There's plenty of that, but... tons of covers.
Yeah.
And really interesting ones, like the kind you like, that are very different takes.
Totally. Yeah. And lots of Where Is My Mind by the Pixies, like different versions of that song in addition to the original.
Yeah.
But that's definitely a theme throughout the...
My wife loves that song. She's,
throughout the season.
She sang it the entire time it was on. So there's one in particular, though, and I got to track it down stuff to find it. But
it's the You're the One That I Want cover.
Yes.
Right.
That's the one.
Yeah.
We got to play that on here, dude.
We will. Okay. We'll definitely play that. I've actually played that on Coverville, and it is by Lo Fang.
It is such a different take.
Yeah. And it's funny because that one's getting a lot of attention, a lot of excitement. I think that was actually in the Coverville countdown last year. Let me pull that up here on my...
While you do that, I'm going to play a song by, not a song, but a little tiny piece of something by a dude named Hyper.
Okay.
A song called Bully. And I'll just say it was a scene involved a car and two people in front of the car. I don't know if you remember that.
Oh, yeah.
Month for new message.
That's not it. Hold on. Oh, it won't play now. Wonderful.
Oh, no.
Oh, here we go. Check it out. Just the first part here. Just a tiny taste. Here you go. Oh, this part right here gets real good. Here it comes. Put your arms out. Get ready to embrace it. Oh, yeah. Okay, wait for the beat, Brian. Wait for the beat to drop. Oh, come on, beat drop. I promise there's a beat. There really is one. It's coming, I promise. Okay, here it goes. Anyway, so did you find what you're looking for there?
Yes, it is Lo Fang, and it was a member of it was a song by it was in the Coverville countdown last year.
Okay.
And so we'll put it on this show for
we
sure.
We should definitely squeeze it in when we get a sec. Sometime.
And it's in a commercial. It's like in some cologne or perfume commercial now. Like it's been getting played on TV in the last year in some artsy fartsy commercial.
Deservedly so.
Yes.
Deservedly so.
Well said, sir.
Here's this. Ah, the twang of the Kansas desert. This can only mean one thing.
You're not too far off.
Yeah.
It's part of that high desert region.
So. Y'all getting the snow we got? Or what's going on?
Not us. No. No, no way. We never get anything.
You never get snow?
Started off Saturday, they said 5 to 6 inches. Sunday, they said 1 to 3 inches. Today, they were like, 30% chance of trace snow.
What's going on there, man? You guys are like the Dust Bowl again or something. What's happening?
Pretty much.
There? Yeah.
Pretty much.
Are you, but normally, a normal winter, you guys get all kinds of snow, don't you?
We have about, for Western Kansas, we'll get about maybe 12 inches over the course of 3 months.
Oh, that's not too bad.
No.
But it's snow. I mean, you can get out there and make a snowman occasionally and things like that.
It's pretty dry, so not too often.
Well, we usually, so this is the weird bit. This year feels like normal because usually we get like this. But for the last couple of years, it's hardly anything. Like last year, we had hardly any snow at all. I think we had one storm. It was minuscule at best. And the whole rest of the winter was just kind of dry and weirdly warm. And that was really strange for us. So there are a lot of people going, climate change, shit, we've gone too far. And then
El Nino.
Yeah. And then this year, it's like, oh, never mind, back to normal. Nobody can move. Their cars are all stuck. Good deal.
Yeah, about 100 miles east of here, they start to get a lot more snow and ice and rain this time of year.
Well, I am happy to report that my dog, Rainer, Jim Rainer, the female dog, she'd never seen snow before. This is her first year with snow. We got her as a puppy right after last year's winter, and there was no snow. So this was not an experience she's had before. And her first experience turned out to be, at first she was a little trepidatious. She's like, what the hell is this? She's kind of tiptoeing around. She's like, I don't know what's going on. My whole world has changed. And now she runs around like a deer in the mountains, just loves it, just hopping over everything, buries herself in it, barks at snowmen. She freaking loves it. So I guess it's good. It's all good. Nice. Steven, it's good to have you back.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's been a week since we last spoke. Have you seen Star Wars twice since we last spoke?
No, I have not. I cannot convince my oldest to go see it. He just is not that interested in it.
Really?
I
wanna, like,
you're not my son.
Yeah, weird.
Who are you?
What is his exact exact reply? Like, why does he give a reason why he doesn't want to see it?
He's just like, I'm not, just not that interested. Hey, let's watch soccer on TV.
Oh, weird.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
You're growing so sports boy. You got a sports boy.
Yeah, he really loves soccer. So he got a lot of soccer stuff this year for Christmas.
Well, enjoy those knee surgery payments. They're going to come in handy later. Well, it's always good to have you on because we talk about the goings on in pop culture and comics and movies and all that kind of stuff, TV sometimes, whatever just sort of tilts our boat. It's not even a phrase. I just made it up. Let's start off with, oh crap, I didn't paste your stuff in. Why didn't I do that?
That's all right.
There it is. Let's talk about the records. We talked about them before, but how far do you think this goes? Does every record get beaten? Does it get to the Gone with the Wind adjusted for inflation record or no?
Well, I mean, it probably not adjusted for inflation, but if you look at the top 10 movies currently using current standards, it has to beat Avatar by the end of its run. And I think that was at 750 something domestically. So if it keeps on this track, if more people go and see it multiple times over this holiday break, I think it could beat it by the end of the movie draft run. Or actually, I think it'll probably hit that by the end of January.
So I didn't know that Avatar made that much. I knew Avatar was in the lead, but I thought we'd have beaten it by now. So can you, okay, I don't want to be a jerk here about Avatar because I actually kind of like Avatar, all right? I think Avatar's kind of cool.
It's not horrible.
Yeah, I think it's kind of cool. It's very Jim Cameron-y and it's got its moments, all right? So there's some cool stuff happening in that thing. However, for a movie that is the top grossing domestic whatever of all time and will soon be hopefully unseated by Star Wars or may or may not be, but can you remember one character's name? Can you remember one
Avatar?
Yeah,
no,
you can't. Can
Blue Lady and John Smith?
Can you remember a guy ever saying a thing that stuck with you, like a phrase, like a catchphrase, or
No, there's nothing there.
All right, sorry, we're back. We had a weird glitch. Everything's fine now. But yeah, point being, Avatar is not memorable except that you know there are blue people, unobtainium, and the little men running around shooting the big blue people. That's it. Right?
Right. Something like that.
All right, we're back
again.
Quick,
hurry, press record button.
Freaking stupid Skype. Oh, and I can't. Okay, there. Got it. Okay, everything's fine now. Everyone just calm down. Everything's fine. So for some reason, Brian's all dark, but that's not your fault, Brian. Something changed with the update. This is a Skype thing. I don't know. Who cares?
Yeah, because I'm sending video.
Yeah, you're there. It's like you're wearing sunglasses on my side. It's weird. We'll figure that out later. But anyway, so Steven. Star Wars, yeah. Breaks records. Everybody watch for that. Oh, let's talk about this new Deadpool trailer coming. And you're not happy with the direction of X-Men. So I want to hear your take on that.
I don't think it's that. It's a line directly from the trailer.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, there's a line. Yeah, there's a line in there where Deadpool, and this is a very not safe for work trailer. So if you want to get fired today, crank up your volume and listen to Deadpool say, I don't care about any of your X-Men BS.
Really?
Really loud.
Lots of F-bombs. Yeah.
So wait, he can do that because Fox has rights to X-Men, so he can actually evoke the name and get away with it, right?
Colossus. Colossus is in the movie.
Yeah. Oh. And I didn't recognize the other.
I don't know who that is either.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet. Will it be, what's your temperature on that movie in general? Like it seems like they're really pandering to everybody who wants this thing to be dirty and loud and sweary and stuff. And so it seems like they're doing
really,
that.
They, And here's the thing. We don't get to see very many superhero movies that are R-rated. And this one has a hard R. And I think that because it's falling in February, it's going to fall in between the movie dump of crappy movies. And everyone is going to want to see it's going to make a crap ton of money.
You think it's going to do Boo. Well? All right. And how do you feel about that? Do you think that's are we happy that that's a thing that's going to happen? Or do we not care?
I think it is in line with the comics. Hmm.
And do you think it will have the kind of effect that Rob Liefeld hopes it has, which is he'll get a ton of money because he created the character, or is that out of his hands now?
No, I think he's going to get a crap ton of money. He's very excited about it if you follow him on Twitter, and he thinks it's going to be a super hit.
Yeah. Well, maybe it will. Here's the thing. Since you mentioned Twitter, I want to mention this. The emo Kylo Ren account, if you're not following that, you should be.
Hysterical.
It's really, really funny.
Just the name, I can kind of predict what it's all about. That's hilarious.
Yeah. I'm going to try to...
It's my second favorite Twitter feed next to Nihilist Arby's.
Yeah. It's. I don't think I'm following that one.
Oh, you need to follow that one.
All right. I'll find it. So this is the account is, and this is real. I would recommend if you don't watch Star Wars, or if you haven't seen Star Wars, maybe wait until you've seen the movie. But it's at Kylo R3N. So the three instead of an E, which is
clever.
Yeah. Kind of funny in its own way.
Yeah.
I got to read you this part. It's pretty funny. And it's not a spoiler. He says this. He says, Uncle Lando said my helmet made me look like a depressed lampshade, and then everyone laughed and high-fived him. I hate this family so much. It's awesome, dude.
Nice.
And he went from like 0 to 382,000 followers in like no time. And brilliant. The best part is, guess who are the two people he follows and the only two people he follows? Hot Topic and Darth Vader.
Awesome.
Isn't that amazing?
I love when the meta extends beyond the tweets and into like the whole account. Like that. That's fantastic.
Well, it's kind of my whole point. No one did that with Avatar. I guess what I'm saying is Star Wars, if something deserves to be a mega hit, whether it wins awards or not, it's something like Star Wars. Avatar, we just don't remember, you know? I know Giovanni Ribisi was in there and he wanted some rocks that were under a big damn tree. That's all I remember.
Ripley.
Ripley yeah, had the Ripley there. In there, sure.
She was angry about something.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I liked her. See, you even
forgot. I forgot
Gamora.
About that.
Gamora was in there.
She was in there until you missed it, yeah.
Yeah, she had, there was an alien nipple slip in that movie. I remember that.
What?
Well, just a little something
there was some weird tail sex thing.
Oh, yeah, they had to tail, right.
This major spoilers section just got really dark.
Yeah. And then I did a cartoon about it where the hair tail, it was more like their hair would connect, right? So their big long ponytail, I had one connected to a TV and the guy was playing a video game with his head attached to the TV and his mom wanted him to come to dinner and he said, I can't, mom, let me finish this last map or some stupid thing like that. So I guess I got some enjoyment out of it. Finally, Spider-Man. We're all familiar with Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
He got, his animated movie got pushed to December 2018. So I take it this is a bigger deal than just some direct-to-Netflix thing.
Yeah, it actually could be, depending on how they approach it. Now, the one thing that people keep thinking, because the head of Sony said that it was tied to the greater Spider-Man movie universe, this is actually not tied to the Marvel Spider-Man universe, at least in the official press release from Sony. But it is getting pushed back to December of this next year, which is odd because... they're still going up against a Star Wars movie in December. So who knows what's going on with that.
So wait, animated as in like nicely 3D, like...
We don't know if it's 3D or 2D or if it's going to be a Lego thing or anything like that. I'm guessing it's going to be 3D animated, but definitely is not going to be part of the whatever series of Spider-Man tales Sony is telling this year.
Right. Co-directed by Phil Lord and Chris Miller. Mm-hmm. Those are the two dudes behind the Lego movie.
Yeah, which makes me wonder if this is... I mean, it's not called the Lego animated movie, but with those guys involved in it, you know it's going to be silly and funny and fun. And because the Lego movie was 3D, this one will more than likely be 3D as well.
Is that a whole year bump then? Let's see.
It's like 6 months.
6 months. Okay, yeah, they were going for a summer release.
And that could be a... production issue.
I don't know why you'd want to ever release anything anywhere near Star Wars. I don't get
right.
that.
Right.
Yeah. Well, look how Sisters did this weekend.
Did it?
Or last weekend.
How'd it do? I don't even know.
No.
Let's see. Sisters. Rotten Tomatoes. it did. Let's see. It's reviewing okay.
It's reviewing okay, but it has not made very much
money. But it's not. I mean, it's,
you know, they're basically saying there's got to be people out there who don't care about Star Wars, and we're going to try and capture them with a Amy Poehler, Tina Fey film.
Daddy's Home with your Will Ferrell and your Marky Mark is doubled what Sisters did.
Wow.
And that's got only 30% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow.
Its Sisters made barely more than the 16% on Rotten Tomatoes of Alvin and the Chipmunks. I can't read the rest of it. Oh, the Road Chip.
Road Chip, yeah.
The Road Chip.
Yeah.
Hey, what's your name there? What's the guy's name? Justin, not Justin Long. Who's the guy in that movie?
Earl.
Yeah, Earl. Jason Lee. Get the hell out of that franchise, dude.
Before you kill your own career.
Trapped in it forever.
Trapped
forever.
What are you doing in there? He must have signed some hellish deal.
Mm-hmm. Their third movie? Fourth movie?
Something like that, yeah.
And it does well enough to, money-wise, it brings in money, right? So, I mean, it's, you know.
Does it? I guess it does. It made double Sisters.
Yeah.
Or close to it. Or no. They were just under Sisters. That's what it is. Yeah.
And if he's in for a fourth movie, he now gets a crap ton more money as a recurring, playing that character multiple times.
Is this the third one of these?
So it's probably not it's either the third or fourth.
Yeah, because the second one was the Squeakquel.
Shut up.
I wish I could tell you that was not the truth.
But that's really what it was called? That one and the Chipmunks, the Squeakquel?
Yes.
I'm very scared that you know that.
Brian, that makes me want to...
how bad it was.
That makes me want to kick somebody in their exposed nuts. I hate that name. Oh my gosh, that's really ruined my day. Well, anyway, that's all the news fit to publish. Steven, there's always something new popping over at majorspoilers.com. Where should people go to see the latest? Is there anything cool happening?
Majorspoilers.com. This week we are wrapping up our top fives. We've got the top five comics of 2015, our top five movies of 2015, and some other things over at majorspoilers.com and the podcast that we do.
Well, make a new list. Top five worst Skype problems of the year.
Yes.
And you'll be right up there.
And since we have so many Skype problems, Brian, you can get me started on Hateful Eight next week.
Oh, yeah, right. That sounds good.
Oh, yeah, I want to hear about that. Crap. Okay, next week, everybody.
If we have a better connection. Yeah,
tuck in. It's time for Steven to complain about that movie or whatever.
Maybe I'll have seen it between now and then.
Yeah.
It's not a bad movie, but just something else happened was very disappointing.
In the movie?
Yes, kind of, without spoiling. Actually, if you just go back and look at my Twitter feed, Major Spoilers, I ranted on it for about an hour on Saturday night.
I'm going to go look.
Christmas Day evening, so the 26th or whatever.
Was it the 25th. Part where the bride came and killed Bill right in front of everybody? Or
I'll say this. Channing Tatum is in the movie. That's something you may not have known.
Sexy lady. No, I did know about that. What was the other person that was in it that I was surprised to hear?
I'll talk about. Oh, it's got Kurt Russell. Got Jennifer Jason Leigh, who I think an Oscar nomination for her performance.
Oh, really? Wow.
Samuel L. Jackson ever utter the words, hold on to your butts, or no?
No, but he's got some choice lines.
All right. It's majorspoilers.com, everybody. Major Spoilers on Twitter and skype.com for your complaints. We'll talk to you next time. Stupid Skype.
Oh, that was really bad.
Yeah, it was terrible today. That's the worst we've ever had, I think.
Disservice to Steven is what it did.
It was Skype owes Steven an apology. You owe him an apology.
A major apology.
That's right. We got some emails. I'm going to rip through these. One from WLG who says, hello, streamers. Let's just say it's code. this is a quote. So if I ever say, let's just say, he says it's code for when Scott is going to spoil something by using a non-spoiler description that completely reveals the thing he's pretending not to reveal. I would just say, Scott, you are no wordsmith. Wordsmith. That's one word, I think.
It should be one word.
Neither are you, it turns out. WLG. Perhaps spoiler territory is not the place you should visit so much. Truly do love the show, though. WLG. Well, WLG. I don't know if this is going to come as a surprise to you, but it's one of my favorite things to do is to skirt around spoilers in a way that is actually not very good.
Yeah.
So he
does nail it, though. I mean, it usually does begin with, let's just say,
Let's say there's a guy in this movie.
Let's just say that
I'm not going to
spoil Bruce Willis in The Sixth Sense might not be all you expect him to be, and he's dead.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's another thing on the leftovers thing. I'm just going to say this to you so you'll understand it.
Yeah.
Here I am going to do it again.
Right.
My wife said she has a theory, and she thinks it's Sixth Sense-y theory.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's not anything. That's not a spoiler because we don't know, but she's got that theory right now. And by your reaction, I'm going to assume that means that some of those answers are not, or some of those questions are not answered by the end of this season. We have to wait for the third and final season to find out what's going on.
Right. Let's just say Vader, Luke, and Leia might be attending a family reunion at some point.
Okay. All right. Let's just say that
Scott describes Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
Let's just say
it's my new biography. Let's just say the story and life of Scott Johnson.
I love it. I love it.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
All right, next one. This is from Tom Nako. He says, I love the new Star Wars movie. One of the things I think they really nailed was casting a female and an African American in lead roles without feeling like the movie was jumping up or down, yelling, hey, look, I am a repressed minority and I have a lead role in a major Hollywood production, unquote. They just had two strong central characters, and one of them happened to be female. The other one just happened to be black. What do you guys think? The show, though, I love. Tom, I completely agree.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some who don't agree with that, and they're the ones I don't like. Those people can go off a cliff because everybody wants to point at this and say, Mary Sue and the freaking...
Well, those are the type of people who anytime there's anybody put into a film that's of color in a starring role, they're going to say, oh, they just did that so that they can point it and say, you know, we've got a minority in a lead role.
Yeah, it's inception racism.
Right,
it's
exactly.
It's racism.
As long as there are people who do that, there will be perception of racism where there isn't racism, and that's the thing we need to squash.
Yeah, and it's definitely inception, meaning they're making it two layers deep now. Yes. Because they're going, on the one hand, they're saying, well, now they're just forcing it. Now there's just they put a lady in there in the lead role because they feel like it's PC to do it. Well, it doesn't make you any less of a poo face for saying that because you have this theory that is bullshit. So go away, everybody. Mm-hmm. Go away. Next one. And there'll be somebody out there with some reasonable response to this. And you can email me and tell me and I'll read it on the show. It's fine. Like we've always said, we'll take all callers and all whatever. But I can't stand that thinking. I hate it. Like people saying, she's too OP. How could a girl do that? Really? How could John McClane do what he did to keep the Bruce Willis thing going?
Right, exactly.
Running through the building with bare feet on the glass, taking out 500 terrorists plus an Amish guy twice. Well, I guess the black guy shot the Amish guy.
Right.
Yippee-ki-yay,
suspended disbelief.
That's right. Clay. Bill Clay.
Oh, God. Oh, you're one of them. Yeah, you're one of the them. Terrorists.
Oh, Bill Clay.
Don't shoot me.
We must get those detonators.
I love that movie.
Hans, Booby.
Booby. Yeah, I almost watched
Christmas.
That this weekend.
Best
we almost
Christmas
did.
Movie ever.
We did watch. Oh, this is the other weird thing I meant to tell you. We watched Christmas Vacation, and there was stuff I forgot about. And I see it every year. How is it possible I'm forgetting about things in that movie?
What'd you forget?
All right. Let me back this up. I don't remember. Oh, now I don't remember what I don't remember. There were like little moments that were just completely out of my brain. What were they? I don't remember. Maybe I don't remember things flying through Elaine's window twice.
Oh, well, I remember the,
there was the big ice and
then the tree
and the tree. But I don't remember. I think it was the ice. I don't remember happening.
Gotcha.
And why is the floor wet, Todd? You know, like that.
That's right.
Oh, freaking those two.
Yeah.
And there was something else. I don't remember what it was. It was driving me crazy, though. But I love that movie, and it was really funny.
Yeah, for
as
sure.
Always. Uncle Lewis, he's the best. What was the thing I couldn't remember, Carter? She's standing right here. What would I not remember? The lady in the pool. The lady in the pool. Oh, I don't remember the lady in the pool at all.
The almost booby scene.
Yes. Completely forgot about that. Or just it came up and I went, what? And what was the other one? I don't remember him having a conversation with the little dirty niece, one of Randy Quaid's kids. And also he doesn't go, shitter's full. He says, the shitter was full.
Right.
We all have that wrong. We all say
we kind of all say that line differently. It's like the, here's, or what is it? Play it again, Sam. Never was uttered in Casablanca.
Right. There's another one. Luke, I'm your father. It doesn't say that at all. He says.
Right, exactly. Yes.
He says. What does he say?
He says, Obi-Wan never told you what happened to your father.
I am your father, right?
He told me enough. He told me you killed him.
My arm hurts.
Lando pain.
My hand is at the bottom of this endless pipe of space.
There's a lot of endless pipes of space in that new movie.
Lots of endless pipes of space.
Yeah, spoiler.
Hi.
Hi, you're back.
Yeah, we had another glitch, everybody at home. Sorry.
Go Broncos, but... don't cover the spread.
That's right.
Win by 1 point and we're all good. Everybody's happy.
We have fun. We have one final email.
Okay.
This is from Randy, not our Randy, a different Randy.
A different Randy.
Well, maybe not. I don't know. Maybe it's Star Randy. I don't know. But I don't know if our Randy likes Kanye West or not. If he does.
Could be. Yeah, yeah, it could be our Randy.
Well, he says this.
I mean, you got the mail. You should be able to look and see who it came from.
You're right. Look at me. Look at me digging my hole deeper. It says, okay, Scott, hey, I'm a huge Kanye West fan, and I think he is seriously misunderstood by a lot of people, yourself included. I think as an artist yourself, you should really appreciate what he does if you'd pay some attention to it. Bear in mind, he makes his own beats, writes his lyrics, especially his later material. Just try to visualize. That's super important. Like a painting, maybe. He has synesthesia. What is that?
Synesthesia. So it's... when you hear colors or you hear something, you see it as a color.
Oh, weird. Yeah. Never heard of that.
Or smells as colors. It's things where certain, senses trigger colors.
Oh
yeah.
Okay. See, like if you smell a thing, you might have the sense of
a
color.
You might smell green or something like that.
Okay. Yeah. He says in the way that I do, but I shouldn't. What? But it shouldn't hardly be what? It shouldn't be hard really. His music is very cinematic. Plus, he very much dictates fashion. I'm super passionate about music in general, and Kanye is one of those few people in pop music that's profoundly talented. People just can get caught up in the hatin'. Would love to discuss this this and your own work if it interests you enough, Randy. All right, I don't think it's our Randy.
No.
So Randy that is not our Randy. I am fully, I don't think, when he says he's seriously misunderstood by a lot of people, I think he's doing just fine. I think he's got plenty of fans or he wouldn't be where he is.
Right.
So
right.
Me saying I don't think he's all that is not indicative of the overall body of supporters he has. He has clearly plenty of them and he's doing just fine. So I wouldn't worry about that. It's for me, this is more of an issue of like if I don't like something or if let's say I like something a lot. Let's say that movie I can't talk about that will probably... not only get nominated, but win an Oscar this year. There are people who really don't like it.
Right.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, of course. Gina's one of them. She said that if it weren't for me enjoying it, she would have walked out.
Yeah, she would not have liked that. She didn't like that movie at all. I've got a sister-in-law who freaking hated it.
Yeah.
My wife loved it, but I think I've rubbed off on her.
Ice warm.
If you know what I'm saying. So I guess what I'm saying is it's fine if people don't like the thing you like. It's okay. Sure, it doesn't mean that what you like is any less important or whatever. So don't worry about me and my dumb opinion about Kanye West. Who cares?
Yeah, and I think it's really hard for me to separate someone's music and appreciating just their music in a vacuum without thinking about anything else that they've done or said or tweeted or interrupted or anything like that. Like, you know, you can't listen to Gary Glitter now and Rock and Roll Part 2 without thinking of, oh yeah, all that child pornography and all that stuff that he did. And, you know, you can't, you just can't do it.
I can't see I can't listen to a Pete Townsend song or a Who song without seeing his big 72-year-old floppy belly on the Super Bowl. You can't separate them. Like, even someone who stays out of the limelight, like Adele, she just pops up every 5 years of the new album and blows everyone's minds, right?
Right, right.
And then she disappears and raises her kids and avoids the spotlight.
Yeah.
That's almost her thing. In that you can't separate her music from her ability to turtle away like that. Yeah.
Try listening to Lady Gaga music and not visualizing the whole Lady Gaga performance aspect, the whole, you know, outlandish costumes and
you can't help it.
No, exactly.
It's part of the deal. She does those things to sell her albums. So it's part of her thing. So I'm not saying, and so what I'm saying is, if you think that all his outside of the music stuff is cool and helps his image, then great. I just have a different opinion about his. I just don't like his music. I find it annoying, and I like hip hop, and I like, you know, I like various incarnations of various artists who are doing hip hop, but I really don't like Kanye West music, and I really don't even follow his personal life that much. I mean, I know about his outbursts and his legendary ego and his Kim Kardashian marriage, but beyond that, I don't know what's going on.
So here's what I ask from Randy. I will listen. Give me five songs. Like, tell me five songs to listen to, Kanye West songs. I'll listen to them. I won't watch music videos for them. Mm-hmm. And I will try and listen to them with a very objective ear and rule out the things that we know about Kanye.
Yeah.
Try and appreciate it for the music.
Like Tom Merritt's Pretend Dumb About Star Wars.
Right. Pretend We're Dumb About Kanye.
Yeah. We'll do our own little series. Songs. Yeah, give us five of them. We'll both take the challenge. He sent me a bunch of video links, but we want just songs.
Oh, really? It's funny. He did send video links.
He did send video links, but and I'd seen some of them already. So it was.
Well, maybe that's the thing. Maybe we need to. Maybe that's the answer. Basically, is I need to watch or listen to those videos without the visuals. Yeah. Just put them on the background.
You turn the other way when they play.
I'll just pull up another tab in front of them.
Yeah, like, you know how to do that. Brian has 80 tabs up at any given time.
I do have 80 tabs. Yeah,
he's tab man extraordinary.
I'm really bad at that. And it slows down your computer and it creates lots of, I know.
Although much easier, I did some tests, way, way less resources if you're using Safari on a Mac than if you're using Chrome. So I quit using Chrome. Anyway. There's that. Let's get out of here. Frogpants.com/TMS is the place to go. If you want to send your own emails in for us to read, themorningstream@gmail.com is the place. You can also phone call us, leave us voice messages, 801-471-0462, and follow us on Twitter at Coverville, Scott Johnson, and Morning Stream. And as always, our subreddit is frogpants.reddit.com. I think that's everything. Tomorrow, Justin will be here, and he has a theory about the movie I can't talk about that I can't wait to hear. So we'll see how I dance around that and not, like, say stuff that I'm not supposed to say, but we'll see how it goes.
Wow, okay.
Should have him and Chin Beard here, so that'll be fun. Come on back for that. Other than that, I think that's it. We have music? You got something?
We do, yeah. So Mike Haley, a.k.a. the Taffy guy that we saw at Nerdtacular, who brought us a bunch of Taffy. I think always had Taffy. If anybody ever needed Taffy among the Nerdtacular attendees, then there was taffy to be had.
He had a little warm taffy in his pocket. He would give
That's
you.
Right. Yep. Exactly. Yep. And no euphemism there.
Nope.
Dear Snowman and Drummer Boy, December 27th is the birthday of my fiance's mom, Lorna. Sadly, this is the first one since she lost the battle to cancer earlier this year. I didn't have very long to get to know her, but she filled the room with love every day, and I know that she was very happy that I was now in her daughter's life and was happy for our future together. This is going to be a very hard day for Lois and her family, and I will be there to help them celebrate the good memories. I'd like you to play her favorite song about pigs, cheese, and style of house. Just kidding. One of her favorite songs was The Little Drummer Boy.
Oh, do I still have to play this? Pigs, cheese?
Seems odd right here, doesn't it? Since we played it earlier, I think we're covered.
Okay, instead of playing that, I'll play this. Here you go. There you go.
Perfect. Yeah. Love the snow, though. Mike, a.k.a. the Taffy Guy. P.S. I'm sorry if this made you cry, Lois. I love you. So to Lois's mom, or dedication to Lois's mom, Lorna. Now, I'm not usually a fan of playing Christmas covers after Christmas. Usually I figure it's like, okay, we're done with Christmas. I never have to listen to those songs again. So while we're still going to do, we're going to play a cover of Little Drummer Boy. It's an instrumental cover that's actually kind of heavy metal. And I think it succeeds in doing what it needs to do and also gives people an alternative to the lyric-y Christmas stuff that you're probably sick of. So win-win, I'm hoping.
Yeah.
This is the band August Burns Red. This is from their Sledden Hill Holiday album from 2013. It rocks, and it's Little Drummer Boy.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
'Cause I'm a baby.